Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, this is Coffee Break with Sheila Hardin and Encouragement to Christian Women to Step Out in Ministry. And we have just a very exciting guest today. She's an awesome warrior for the Lord, and I mean warrior with a capital W. She has done some amazing things in her native country, Canada, and she's involved in a wonderful thing that's going to be happening here in Southern California in March, as a matter of fact. So she's also here to talk about that with us. But before we get into that, I'd like to start off with some fast food. And the fast food for today is Proverbs 10:18. To hide hatred is to be a liar. To slander is to be a fool. Isn't that interesting? Hiding hatred is to be a liar. So when you pretend you're nice to somebody and you really don't feel that way, you're really not being very honest with anybody, are you? Well, that's our fast food, and I thought we'd also read a psalm today, Psalm 43, 1 through 5. Oh God, defend me from the charges of these merciless, deceitful men, for you are God, my only place of refuge. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I mourn at the oppression of my enemies? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me to your temple on your holy mountain Zion. There I will go to the altar of God, my exceeding joy, and praise him with my harp. O God, O my soul, why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trust in God. I shall again praise him for his wisdom and help. He will make me smile again, for he is my God. You know, the wonderful thing about Psalms are that no matter what you're going through, David experienced those emotions, and he was so completely open and transparent with his God. He was not pretending to be something other than who he was. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Lord favored him, because his relationship was so transparent. Well, I'm not seeing that our caller is calling in. What are we going to do with that? I think one of the things that we can do in the meantime is, hold on one second. Last time we read the letter from God as part of a Valentine's Day presentation, and I read it. And as I was doing that, I was thinking that it would be a good thing for a man to read this, because God is our Father. So we're going to have a reading of this all over again with Adam, my sidekick here at the computer, reading this wonderful God's love letter.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. Psalm 139:1. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. Psalm 139:2. I am familiar with all your ways. Psalm 139:3. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Matthew 10:29-31. For you were made in my image. Genesis 1:27. In me you live and move and have your being. Acts 17:28. For you are my offspring. Acts 17:28. I knew you even before you were conceived. Jeremiah 1:4-5. I chose you when I planned creation. Ephesians 1:11-12. You were not a mistake. Psalm 139:15-16. For all your days are written in my book. Psalm 139:15-16. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. Acts 17:26. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. I knit you together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. And brought you forth on the day you were born. Psalm 71:6. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. John 8:41-44. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. 1 John 4:16. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. 1 John 3:1. Simply because you are my child and I am your father. 1 John 3:1. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. Matthew 7:11. For I am the perfect father. Matthew 5:48. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. James 1:17. For I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. Matthew 6:31-33. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Because I love you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. My thoughts toward you are countless as a sand on the seashore. Psalm 139:17-18. And I rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. And I rejoice over you with singing. And I will never stop doing good to you. Jeremiah 32:40. For you are my treasured possession. Exodus 19:5. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. Jeremiah 32:41. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. Jeremiah 33:3. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Deuteronomy 4:29. Delight in me, and I will give you the desire of your heart. Psalm 37:4. For it is I who gave you those desires. Philippians 2:13. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. Ephesians 3:20. For I am your greatest encourager. Thessalonians 2:16-17. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. Corinthians 1:3-4. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. Psalm 34:18. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. Isaiah 40:11. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Revelation 21:3-4. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. Revelation 21:3-4. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. John 17:23. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. John 17:26. He is the exact representation of my being. Hebrews 1:3. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. Romans 8:31. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Corinthians 5:18-19. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. Corinthians 5:18-19. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. John 4:10. I gave up everything and loved that I might gain your love. Romans 8:38-39. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. John 2:23. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Romans 8:38-39. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. Luke 15:7. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. Ephesians 3:14-15. My question is, will you be my child? John 1:12-13. I am waiting for you. Luke 15:11-32. Love your dad, Almighty God.
I just love that part about the party, that he's waiting to throw a party for us. That just brings tears to my eyes and really touches me. Well, our guest is here, and we are all ready to talk with her. Fatain Graszczecki, is that the correct way to say your last name, Graszczecki?
No, it's not. That's okay. It was a great try.
How do I say it?
It's Graszczecki.
Graszczecki.
Graszczecki, yeah.
Yes. Well, Fatain, I first heard about you when I was, a girlfriend of mine went to a conference in Phoenix, and she heard you speak. And she came back and was just awestruck by what you had done in your home country of Canada and the ministry you have there. And then I read your book, Marked, which we will have up on our website. And it just gave me chills to read it, to listen to your obedience to the Lord, your ability to hear him, and your courage to respond. It just really made an impression on me. So how did you get involved in the ministry that you're involved in? And then after you share about that a little bit, we'll talk about what you're going to be doing here in Southern California.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much, Sheila, for having me today. I apologize, my voice is a bit raspy, but we've been on an intense preaching sort of schedule for the last couple of weeks here leading up to the cry. But to answer your question, basically how I got involved in the ministry was just one radical step of obedience at a time. And, you know, a lot of times people will ask me that, like, how did you get into ministry and stuff? And I honestly have a hard time even relating to that question because I just feel like you're either obedient or you're not, you know what I mean? And and it just leads you into what you're called to do in terms of destiny. And so I began, you know, just serving the Lord on the streets, inner city streets of Vancouver. You know, the Lord gave me a heart while I was there to do some international missions. And it was actually while I was in Liberia, as you might remember from the book, that the Lord began to speak to me about the state of North America and specifically Canada. And came back to Canada, and just one thing after another, just, you know, those steps of obedience. Again, I just started where I knew how to start. I began to volunteer with ministries that had a heart for the nation, that had a heart to see transformation at a national level. And, you know, honestly, Sheila, I just started licking stamps and folding brochures and just doing the basics. And eventually, I began to do research on the Righteous Foundations of Canada. And that led to my first book, Stand on Guard, which went national bestseller and began to open up all these doors. We launched out of that two ministries, one which is The Cry, which is now coming to Hollywood. We're really excited. And the second was this lobby work that we do in government now. But again, it was just one act of obedience after another. And I think if you would have said to me at the beginning that, you know, we would be having hundreds of sit-down meetings with members of parliament, which would be the equivalent of congressmen, and, you know, meeting with the prime minister and mobilizing thousands of people in prayer, I would have thought, you know, who are you talking to? Do you have the right person, you know? But it's amazing what God can do when you simply take the limits off. So that's the summary, I guess, of our journey.
So the thing that is always interesting to me, especially in your situation, is the Lord led you to really go and visit the members of your government and pray with them, offer to pray with them out of obedience, and also to honor them, honoring authority. I remember that chapter made a big impression on me. And through, it seems like through the honoring of authority, doors open to you that otherwise were not open. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's very, very accurate. Yeah,
and I hear often in Christian circles, well, you know, that's really more political, and we just don't go there. And to me, we are called to pray for our leaders. That's very political. We're called to honor our leaders. That's very political. And when I hear that, you know, that's political, so we just don't get involved in that, particularly in the area of abortion. It bothers me because we're part of a society, we're part of a community, and we're called to do all those things. So I was very just thrilled to see that you were doing that. You were stepping out into the area that, at least in this country, is seen as being politically incorrect.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting that you say that because I was the least political kid on the block. I didn't even vote before. I had actually launched the two ministries that I just alluded to before I had even voted, you know. So I was from a family of farmers and hockey players, and, you know, we never talked politics at home, and I really knew nothing about politics, but God began to grip my heart, you know, about the state of our nation. And at the end of the line, honestly, government is just about people at the end of the line. Mm-hmm. At the end of the line, it's about, you know, elderly people that either get cared for or don't. It's about little girls who are being exploited in the sex trade that either get protected or don't. It's about, you know, the average American's tax dollars that either get used for good or don't. You know, at the end of the line, it's all about people. And so I had to kind of get my head past sort of all the jargon and the brainwashing mm-hmm. of some of those ideologies that you just mentioned, because I think sometimes you hear something so much, like, for example, separation of church and state, sometimes you hear something so much that you actually get to the point where you stop questioning mm-hmm. whether or not it's even valid, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think with some of these things, you know, maybe we've just stopped questioning, or we've been so indoctrinated by what society's told us. But at the end of the line, you know, you cannot convince me that God's heart doesn't burn for little kids who are being exploited in the sex trade. Mm-hmm. And government touches that issue. You can't tell me that God's heart doesn't burn for elderly people who are being, you know, under the threat of elder abuse and, you know, or whatever social justice issue you want to take. And so for me, I just had to kind of remove myself from all of the sort of brainwashing of those social mantras, you know what I mean, of society, and just say, okay, at the end of the line, this is just about people. And, you know, if God's asking me to do this, then, you know, then who am I to question it? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, and we've seen lives saved, and we feel his pleasure. And not only have we seen lives saved, but we've seen members of Parliament who love God and who really want to do good things. Because our little group has been able to get in there and pray for them and encourage them and strengthen them and really build them up to do the right thing, they've actually, we've had members of Parliament say this, that they've had the courage to make really bold, amazing steps in the House of Parliament because of that encouragement. And, you know, Sheila, that's just, like, so gratifying, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We see the fruit. It's exciting.
That is exciting. So what form does, you say, the lobbying work we do, what form does that take?
Well, we really just wait on God in prayer and then just kind of do what he tells us to do. But the form that it's taken for us over the last years is we just met face-to-face with members of Parliament. We lost track, but we're somewhere between 700 and 800 sit-down meetings with our leaders. And in those meetings, we will sit down and, like you said, we'll honor them, we'll pray for them, but we'll also share our hearts with them on the issues that we're passionate about. Through those face-to-face contacts with members of Parliament, we've had the honor of being put on some parliamentary committees to be advisors, you know, to members of Parliament that are advancing different pieces of legislation on a social justice level. But the other thing that we've done is done a lot of grassroots stuff with social media. And, you know, we're living in a whole new generation today in terms of communication. And so our group has been really active and just mobilizing online as well. And like I said, it's exciting because at the end of the line, it's all about people and God's heart for people. And that's what we're seeing impacted at the end of it all.
That is exciting. It's very, very exciting to see the impact. Now, how did you get involved in the CRY, and what exactly is that, and when is it happening?
Yeah, thanks for asking. The CRY is basically a movement of prayer where we literally would gather the entire nation together for a full day of prayer and fasting. And we would gather at key locations in the nation, like the Parliament, right in front of the Parliament, and just pray. We'd gather for 10 hours, to 12 hours sometimes, and just pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the issues of the moment, you know, which were different on every different cry. But what was amazing, Sheila, is that we would see God move. We actually saw God move more during the prayer meeting than even those one-on-one sit-down meetings with our members of parliament. We've done 8 of these massive prayer gatherings, and with 2 of them, we actually saw the national political polls shift 15 to 20 percentage points on the days of the prayer meeting. I'm not kidding at all. We've got the graphs, and whenever I speak publicly, a lot of times I'll show them. But what was amazing is that we weren't even targeting government in prayer. For one of those gatherings, we were focused on praying for the Olympics and social justice issues around the Olympics. But we would see the government impacted. In 2008, the shift was so dramatic that it actually triggered a national election. We ended up going to the polls that October of 2008 and elected a government that was 40% professing believers in Jesus Christ, which was way above the national average. It was just...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this massive shift. And I need to give credit where credit's due. It wasn't all because of the cries. You know, the houses of prayer were involved, the national movements of reconciliation. But for whatever reason, on the day of the cries, the prayer gathering, we would tangibly see these shifts. And so so we're excited. It was in 2009 that God began to really put a focus on our heart for media. You know, the obvious, you know, is right before us that there's really nothing that's impacting the generation and the issues, some of the issues that we've already talked about on this call, more than media. Other than prayer. You know, I think that's more powerful in terms of influence, I think, is prayer. So, you know, so we really felt the Lord say, you know, will you begin to pray and lift up those who not only have political authority, but who have cultural authority? And so the bottom line is long story short, we have booked out Universal Studios Gibson Amphitheater on March the 15th. We're going right to the heart of Hollywood, and we're going to be praying for entertainment media. We're going to be praying for the directors, for the screenwriters, for the actors, for the decision makers, and we're going to be praying that God will really begin to move at another level. He's already moving in amazing ways in Hollywood, but move at another level in a way that will impact the entire earth. So this upcoming cry on March 15th isn't just about Canada, it's not just about U.S. or Mexico, it's actually about the whole world, because that's who Hollywood really impacts. So we're
right.
Full of faith. We're believing, God, that the same shift that we've seen as we've prayed for our government, that we'll see as we gather, you know, people from every different nation, from all the nations, hopefully, will be there as we gather in prayer on that day on March 15th. And I'll just maybe finish with this. It'll also be web streamed through God TV. And so God TV has a potential viewership of 500 million people. So we literally have the potential to mobilize the world in prayer for Hollywood on that day. And it was just so full of faith and excitement for what God could do.
So God TV will be carrying the event as well, or you register through God TV?
God TV is actually going to be carrying the event. They'll be broadcasting it after the fact. But they will be broadcasting it to the 500 million potential footprint. But we're calling people to be there in the building. Especially people are right here within a short drive in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're really hoping that people will join in and be there with us on site. And, you know, together we can do this thing. So the invitation is out there for everybody to come.
Fabulous. Is there a website that people can go to if they want more information, like directions and specific times and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's super easy. It's just thecryhollywood.com. Thecryhollywood.com.
All one word.
Yeah, all one word.
Thecryhollywood.com. Now, if people want to learn more about your ministry in terms of being involved or making donations, how would they contact you?
Well, the main focal point right now really is The Cry, so thecryhollywood.com, or you can go to also my direct website, which is really easy as well, Faith Teen, So that's my first name, FAYTENE.com. And pretty much everything we're involved with is somehow linked through my homepage there.
Okay.
And yeah.
So they can contact you there. They want to have you come and speak, or they want to get more involved in the cry. Now, are you planning this in other cities as well, or is the focus point just in Hollywood right now?
Well, right now, our focus is Hollywood, and then, you know, after it's done, we'll take a deep breath and sit back, look up at heaven and say, okay, God, what's next? And, you know, we really made a commitment to the Lord to only do things, you know, as he genuinely led. And so we're big God seekers in that way. And but if God tells us to do it somewhere else again, we will definitely go for it. And if he doesn't, then we'll trust that we did our job, you know. So
yeah, you did what the Lord told you to do, and there it is. Well, I encourage everyone to get all of Faitane's books because they are just wonderful. They're inspiring, they're encouraging, and they certainly make you want to go and do more. It's been a real inspiration reading what you've written and listening to your story. It's been a wonderful experience for me, and I just want everybody to have that same kind of experience.
Well, thank you so much, Sheila. And I don't know if we have time for this or not, but I just really have a prayer in my heart for your listeners. Do you mind if we just pray?
Oh, please do. We've got about 3 minutes, and
okay.
You can go pray away.
Father, I just thank you for every person who is listening. Lord, I pray specifically for those right now who are called to entertainment media, or God, who have just seen the impact of it. Maybe they've seen the impact of it with their children, with their husbands, with their wives, or with their loved ones. Father, I just ask, God, that there would be such a stirring right now in their spirits regarding what you can do when we come together and pray. Father, for those that are in the industry, God, I ask for your anointing, God, to be upon them. Father, I ask for your favor, I ask for your courage, God, to be a voice for things that will just please and honor and glorify your heart. And Father, I pray for the spirit of courage and faith and boldness, God, for everybody who's listening, no matter what sphere they're in, God, I just pray that they would truly know, God, that they've been born for such a time as this, that they were created for impact, for your name's sake and your glory. And God, we can do anything with nothing because you are God. Lord, when you call us, Father, as we step out in obedience and in faith, God, there's nothing that you can't accomplish through our hands because of who you are, not because of who we are. So, Father, let great faith, boldness, and courage arise in the hearts of every person who's listening. And, God, we pray a blessing over Sheila and her team as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much.
We will
have Faitane's books on our website so you can see where they are. You can go, and we will have the information about her website. You can go to her website and purchase them directly from her. And I encourage each and every one of you to do that. It has been such a blessing having you here this morning. We finally got it organized and made it happen. You are a busy lady.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 weeks out, so here we go.
Yeah. So when are you coming into Southern California?
We're actually in L.A. right now. We're heading out this weekend, but then we'll be back right through till the cry. So we're excited.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to get together a group of people to go because I think it's a very worthwhile and important thing to do.
Oh, thank you so much, Sheila. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for giving us time today.
Yeah, God bless you, too. Take care. Bye.
Well, today, that's all we have, and I encourage you to read her books. They are just so encouraging and so motivating and so inspiring. God bless you all, and we'll see you soon.